Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we'll be looking into the background story of Stand Up for Jesus. Stand Up for Jesus, 1858. The dying words of an Episcopal clergyman inspired a Presbyterian minister to write a poem. Set to a tune originally composed for a secular song, it has become the most militant hymn American Christendom has yet produced. The Episcopalian was young Dudley Atkins Ting, as bold, fearless, and uncompromising a preacher as his distinguished father, the Reverend Stephen H. Ting. Following his graduation from college and seminary, and several years as his father's assistant at the Church of the Epiphany in Philadelphia, Dudley held pastorates of his own in several eastern cities before settling down as his father's successor in the large and wealthy Philadelphia Church in 1854, his 29th year. Although success as an author as well as a preacher soon followed, Dudley Ting was not the kind of minister who, quote-unquote, pulled his punches. As the anti-slavery sentiment grew, he expressed his convictions about the matter from the pulpit. Consequently, before his second year was up, there were loud rumblings from the more conservative members of the congregation. Outspoken critics were demanding his removal. At the suggestion of some of the younger progressive leaders, Ting resigned from the Church of the Epiphany as of November 4, 1856. With a group of faithful followers, he organized the Church of the Covenant, securing a hall on Filbert Street as a meeting place. Meanwhile, he moved with his family to a country home, Mansion House, in the Brookfield section of Montgomery County. In addition to his duties as pastor of a new, growing congregation, Ting began noonday lectures at the YMCA. As his fame grew, larger and larger crowds waited upon his sermons and addresses. His boldness only increased his popularity and effectiveness. On Tuesday, March 30, 1858, over 5,000 men gathered in Jane's Hall, then at 621 Chestnut Street, for a mass meeting sponsored by the Y. Ting preached from Exodus 10:11, "Ye that are men, go and serve the Lord." Over 1,000 of the men were converted. The sermon was called, quote, "one of the most successful of the times," unquote. The entire city was being aroused. A religious awakening was gaining force. During the sermon, the preacher said, "I must tell my master's errand, and I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than that I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." The next week, he returned to his family in the country. On Tuesday, April 13, 1858, he was witnessing the operation of a corn thrasher in his barn. Raising his arm to place his hand on the head of a mule which was walking up the inclined plane of the machine, the loose sleeve of his morning gown was caught between the cogs. The arm was lacerated severely, the main artery severed, and the median nerve injured. 4 days later, mortification having set in, his right arm was amputated very close to the shoulder. Anxiety prevailed for his life. 2 days later, the shock to his system proved fatal. The newspapers gave a detailed account of his passing, including his request to his faithful wife that she use her influence to bring their boys up in the ministry. The reporter wrote, "Taking his aged father's hand, he said with much earnestness, 'Stand up for Jesus, Father, stand up for Jesus, and tell my brethren in the ministry, wherever you meet them, to stand up for Jesus.'" Thus he died on Monday, between 1 and 2 o'clock, surrounded by his family, with his intellect unclouded, and his faith in the happy change that was awaiting him bright and clear and earnest. The Reverend George Duffield, Jr., then pastor of Temple Presbyterian Church, Philadelphia, heard the account of his friend's passing at a memorial service at Jane's Hall. He said, "Ting was one of the noblest, bravest, and manliest men I have ever met." The following Sunday morning, he preached to his people from Ephesians 6:14, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." For his conclusion, he read an original poem of 6 stanzas, which, he explained, had been inspired by the dying words of his co-worker. The poem began, "Stand up for Jesus. ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. The editor of a hymnal, needing a new hymn for his book, joined these thrilling stanzas with a tune that George Webb had written for a poem, "'Tis Dawn, the Lark is Singing," for a show on board ship somewhere in the mid-Atlantic. The result is that in death, Dudley Atkins Ting preached more widely and more successfully than ever he did in life. Stand Up for Jesus has inspired untold millions to nobler Christian living during its first century, and doubtless will continue its ministry even more effectively as its second century approaches. This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.